Hello, survivors, caregivers, and all of our followers. We hope that you are enjoying the 1st of May. I know, hard to believe we're already here, but nonetheless, we hope the kickoff to the new month has been amazing. To start our May series, as you know, there's 5 Mondays in this month. We are having an amazing kickoff. For tonight's show, we're going to have Dr. Pleva from Traverse City, Michigan with Northern Lights Chiropractic. Of course, she's in chiropractic. She's a chiropractor, if you will. We know how important that is in life, but she has started to really expand and provide brain scanning assessment tools. And what's amazing is, and us survivors and or caregivers know, that going to see a chiropractor is very beneficial for our brain. And with her assessment tools, she is aiding her patients to understand the brain balance from either brain injuries, learning difficulties, and or cognitive declines. So without further ado, she's calling in right now. We're going to get the show started, but this is going to be an amazing segment, not only, of course, to kick off our May series, but really help us understand some different avenues that will help us and, of course, our mind. So without further ado, let's get this show started. Dr. Pleva, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Well, Dr. Pleva, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and being on our show and especially sharing more of your work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's great to connect with you.
Well, you heard me say a little brief introduction about yourself. Now that we have the powerful source here on the other side, would you mind introducing a little bit more?
Well, I'm Dr. Ramona Pleva. I am a native of Traverse City, Michigan. I went to chiropractic school at Life University in Marietta, Georgia. And a couple years ago, I decided to expand my practice to include some brain scanning technology. The platform that I use is called WAVI, and it is an FDA-approved EEG assessment tool that allows us to really look at the brain imbalances that people have that you can't really understand or appreciate from subjective patient feedback.
Yeah, and that's very important, especially how there are so many different ways, thanks to the power of technology, and especially individuals like you, that are really helping us understand, like you had mentioned, different areas of the brain, but also brain markers that will help us with, of course, not only if we sustained a brain injury, but like we had mentioned prior, cognitive, mental, mood status, depression, anxiety, of course, PTSD, strokes, and of course, also with memory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a plethora of information that we can gather that can help patients sit there. They sit there and go, oh my gosh, now I understand why I feel the way I do. And so it's really a great service that we can provide for them.
That's amazing. So, you know, speaking of how you mentioned, you know, the EEG brain scanning technology, let's talk a little bit more about that to kick off the show. You know, it was an introduction to the FDA, but they approved that. So information can you share some more about with that scanning technology?
Well, there's some fabulous docs in Colorado. I know Dr. David Oakley, Dr. Jeffrey Boone. They are probably some of the brains literally behind this technology. And so I have the privilege of probably running on their coattails here, but the hallmark of the WAVI brain scan is the assessment called a P300 wave. And why this is important is that the patient will wear a helmet on their head with these little electrodes that just contact the scalp. It's very non-invasive, but what the scan is able to show is first off, how much energy or voltage they have in their brain at all these different electrode sites. And then the P300 comes into play when they are presented with a stimulus. We do an auditory stimulus. So what happens is they have a low grade beep. So it'll be like beep, 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 beep. And so that oddball tone, the brain registers. And at that moment, we're able to measure how quickly the brain reacts to that stimulus. Mm-hmm. And then they click a mouse. And so we're also measuring their physical reaction time. Now, ideally, these the brain stimulus and the physical reaction time should be happening in roughly a third of a second. So pretty quick. What we find is that when people have had some sort of an injury, a brain imbalance, or maybe they have an aged brain, those readings tend to be lower or slower than compared to age-related norms.
Wow. And I think that's really great how, with, again, that power of technology, it is really helping not only, of course, like you had mentioned, really understanding more of the brain function, but how it really does keep track of progress through the different courses that they'll do that will help them, I'm sure, in short term as well as long term.
Right. I mean, you think about, let's say, a high school or college athlete who maybe has a concussion. If you're able to do a baseline reading at the beginning of the season, see what their brain is like when it's, you know, healthy, should they incur a concussion or some sort of traumatic head injury, you can then follow up with another scan to see, like, okay, have you recovered enough to the point of where you match your baseline, or are you still needing to rest, have some more therapy and such, and recover before returning to play? I believe you know as well as I do that, you know, if someone has a concussion, the likelihood of them having another concussion is exponentially increased. So if mm-hmm. we're able to look at this objectively, these types of assessments can assist with return to play decisions. So, and in that case, we're preventing hopefully future brain injuries. We can also assess how well a patient is functioning and progressing through a course of care. So people may have subjective comments like they feel better or this or that, but when you can objectively measure it, that's where the real art of this is important.
Exactly. You know, and speaking of art, that and other parts that are important about that, I've heard a lot of discussion about, you know, different scans and how they have different waves. But I was curious, what is the P300 wave, if I'm pronouncing that right, especially with the numbers? And mm-hmm. if you could tell us about how that assists with brain function.
Well, as I mentioned, what we're doing is we're assessing how fast the brain can actually respond to a stimulus. So the P is, like, I believe the P wave in a brain wave. And then the 300 is the 300 milliseconds of reaction time. So there's actually a couple ways you can measure this. One is with the auditory one, which I shared with you. So it's the beep, 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 beep. So when that oddball tone hits, you know, the brain's going to light up. It's going to react. And not all areas of the brain are going to react with the same level of speed or intensity. So there might be, like, if someone had an injury on the front right side of their head, that area might not respond as quickly as another area of the brain that was not impacted quite so much. So then we see how quickly, you know, are they within that 300 milliseconds mm-hmm. or is it slow? And then how quickly can they physically respond to that with clicking a mouse? I had a patient who was a military veteran who has traumatic PTSD. I don't know how this man is even functioning. He had several hundred close range explosions. He was on a team that did a lot of demo work with explosives, and his brain activity was so low. I mean, let's say for someone of his age, the brain voltage, so the size of the brain waves and the amount of electricity in the brain, let's say, would be 9 to 18 volts. He was at a 1 or a 2 overall. And so we're looking at someone like that who, you know what, they're going to have headaches, they're going to have brain fog, they're going to have trouble sometimes finding the right words, or you know, they're going to be on medication for the rest of their life. So this is something that we can actually see and, you know, hopefully take them through some care that will help boost that. But yeah, I had another young man who was 13 years old who had already had several concussions. And when we looked at the level of his brain and how he was struggling based on the amount of brain voltage that he had and his brain's reaction time. His brain was like the age of a 60-year-old.
Wow.
And so you're looking at that, you're like, oh my gosh, we have to, you know, do something. And, you know, sometimes the brain needs appropriate nutrients, which is probably a whole nother conversation. But, you know, when an area is injured, you know, we need to respond quickly. And this tool allows us to look at where the imbalances really are.
You know, that's very important. Again, it kind of goes with, of course, the theme title, you know, balance of the brain, but balance is very important. You know, and speaking of how this can not only assist, you know, injured brain function, but also like with some others that are, I mean, I want to call it normal brain functioning, but I think the word normal is really overrated because everyone's brain is so differently. But would you mind explaining the difference between a normal brain function or an average would be the better term? I'm kind of far-fetched, but anyways, would you mind explaining the difference between a regular brain compared to an injured brain?
Okay, so when you're when we look at these scans and come out with our reports, somebody with a brain that has not been injured or exposed to, you know, trauma, chemicals, and whatnot, their brain is going to respond within healthy ranges. So for someone of me, I'm 52. My brain voltage should be anywhere from, you know, 9 to 22 volts. And I, you know, I've not been injured and I've taken care of myself. So I'm on the higher end of that. My brain reaction time is about right where it's supposed to be, around that 300 milliseconds. So that shows that everything is connected and responding appropriately. And then physical reaction time, which is measured, of course, like I said, by clicking a mouse, is within a healthy range. What this also does is it gives us kind of an overview topography map of the brain. So you can see which areas of the brain are functioning higher than others. So for me, the occipital central parietal area is lit up with a little bit more activity, which is actually kind of normal. When you see sometimes an injured brain, people might have more activity on the right side or left side of the brain, depending on where their impact might have been, if it was a traumatic injury. I had a patient who she had encephalitis. So she has a part of her brain that actually literally went to mush. And wow. It happened on the left side, which for those of you who know, I mean, the left, you know, temporal area is the area which is for word finding and speech. And she struggles with that because that was where the injury was. And I looked at the scans and I shared it with somebody, another professional, and they said, did she have a stroke? And I said, well, no. They said, how was the right side of her body operating? I'm like, you know what? She actually does pretty well, but you can actually see where the damage actually, you know, was in terms of the electrical activity is less. And so for someone like her, her brain voltage is going to be low. So if, you know, her healthy range is 9 to 22, like mine is, she might be at, you know, 5 or 7. Her brain might be responding much more slowly to stimulus, and then her reaction time is going to be slower. And she is someone who, if she goes to a grocery store and does the self-checkout, she will get stuck sometimes with the process of checking out and scanning things and whatnot. And, you know, to look at her, you think, well, there's nothing wrong with her, but there's stuff going on the inside that she struggles with. And so we're able to actually look at that and have a real good picture. And so what's interesting about the scans that we do is that we're actually measuring the brain while they are actually doing certain activities. And they're simple, but if someone has had a brain injury, they're going to be tired. Their brain is working hard to get through some of these protocols. And so we kind of have to, you know, warn them and let them know that you might be a little tired, and you know, we want to make sure that we don't overwhelm them. But you know, someone who's healthy can, you know, see right through it and be like, okay, what else is there? But for someone struggling, it's a lot of work.
You know, and that's, I think it's very important how, most importantly, how you mentioned, it is a lot of work, but the proper guidance and the amount of willingness that a someone mm-hmm. is going to put forth to that is going to have a much different outcome. You right. know, as you were discussing how there are different steps, different case studies that presented to patients, et cetera, I think that's very important for them to understand. Also with how the balance, once again, it's really helping them explain and understand and measure their process and the progress that they can go through on different steps of this scanning procedure, if you will.
Right. Right.
What are some yeah. of the additional brain functions that can be measured? I know we've been speaking about a lot, but I'm sure there's some that have not been addressed yet.
Well, yes, there's a couple of things. Like you have people, if they are stressed out, if they have a mood disorder, such as anxiety and depression, there is a protocol that we run, and it will let us know if there's a brain imbalance associated with those mood disorders. If they're on medication, they usually land right in the middle of the sweet spot. But if they come in and they haven't had their medication that day, we can actually, you know, get a better assessment of how imbalanced that frontal lobe may be. And then they go, that makes perfect sense. Again, we are not diagnosing anxiety or depression. We are just noting that there is a brain imbalance that is associated with it. So that helps them with some clarity. We're also able to see, it's called a theta-beta ratio. So theta and beta are two different types of brainwave states. Theta is when we are in that daydreaming state. Maybe you are working on a project and you get in that zone and somebody comes along and they kind of startle you because you're just so focused on what you're doing. And then it compares that to beta, which is beta's kind of what we're in right now. You and I are having a conversation. I know you're hanging on my every word and you're aware of what's going on. So when there's an imbalance in between those two brainwave states, that can reflect someone who maybe has focus and concentration issues. Of course, we always think of ADHD, and I think people are having more and more and more of that than we've ever had, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So that's a real interesting thing to assess as well. The protocols that we run also look at something called trail making. So what that is assessing is people's mental acuity, visual processing, and memory. And they're simply putting numbers and letters in order on a screen. And so if your brain is able to see everything, the whole screen, and you know, even when things get a little congested with as you go through the protocol, you're still able to work through it. Someone who's been struggling, or maybe they're starting to have cognitive decline due to age, that's going to take them longer to process that information. So there's a couple other things other than just the P300 wave that we're able to look at.
You know, when you're looking at, you know, those different avenues, is there one that is more common or different steps, or of course, how everyone's brain, and of course, everyone's brain injury is different. Are there different procedures that need to be addressed depending on how the patient is to really give them the best progress?
As far as like treatment options, is that what you're asking? Well, you know, what I had previously kind of alluded to, sometimes they need supplements. So, you know, are they feeding the brain the nutrients that will help nurture it? You know, we know that when people have had a heart attack that suddenly now they're changing their diet and they're exercising. And I don't necessarily know if across the board that we do that for brain injuries. People who've had a stroke and, you know, traumatic brain injury. So that is like the first thing I would look at. And the other thing to keep in mind is usually when there is a head injury, there's also digestive issues. And so those two are very, very connected. And for the young man that I had assessed last year with several concussions, I asked, do you have digestive issues? Sure enough, he's got that going on too. So those are some things that we, you know, want to see balanced out. Chiropractic care can definitely help stimulate the brain. I will be honest, I was just at continuing education this past weekend, and you know, they were talking a lot about laser therapy can be really beneficial. It's not something that's typically covered by insurance, but it's definitely something to consider if people are still struggling with their recovery. In our office, we actually have a brain balancing treatment called a clarity chair. It offers 5 different types of sensory stimulation for the brain. And so it helps the brain to rewire itself. So it creates new connections for, better balance and function.
That's one thing that always needs to be addressed, especially how balancing is really applying to everything, not only physically, but again, to mentally. Wow.
Right.
So if individuals, right, let's say if they're either in your area, in your town in Michigan or elsewhere, and want to see if their chiropractor can really get involved with this, or if they don't even have a chiropractor, just to learn more about how this can assist with brain injuries or just non-brain injuries, just normal or average brain balance, what are some of the ways that they can learn more about what you do?
Well, if they can, go to my website if they would like, which is www.ramonaplevadc.com. I don't know if I need to spell that out or not. I have some information about that. I believe, the WAVI website is WAVI Medical. If they just put in WAVI, which WAVI is WAVIMedical.com, WAVIMed.com, and that would give them some information about the scans that we do. The Clarity Chair, the information there, Dr. Block, Marianne Block, who is in Texas, she is the developer of that genius treatment. And so she has helped a lot of kids who've struggled with being on the spectrum and whatnot. And she's a medical doctor. So she has been dealing with this for a long time. And so we're happy that we're able to, have her treatment available here as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So I definitely know a lot of our listeners would not only want to learn more about this, because it's not only assisting, of course, individuals that have been touched by a brain injury, but it's definitely helping if they have learning difficulties or other cognitive declines. But there's a lot of positive ripple effects that come from this procedure, like some of the we have addressed: ADHD, ADD, memory care, anxiety, stress, PTSD, stroke. So there's a wide range of individuals that can really get not only some great, powerful information from this, but some really good growth mentally and physically. And like you had said earlier, put it correctly on the right balancing path. So I want to thank you for all you do, but most importantly, allowing our listeners to educate themselves about this and open up a new door of opportunities.
Right. This is what we do. This is why we do it, because we want to help people, and we can make their lives better. That's very rewarding, and we take great pride in that.
That's phenomenal. And I know you're taking not only a lot of time out of your busy schedule to see you, or tonight, I'm sorry, but also allowing not only our listeners, but me to learn more. And I haven't given you the opportunity to ask me any questions, if you have any. Do you have any questions for me?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure. I don't want to be like, right, Wow, that's nice. You're asking me all the questions, but I might want to have something for you. I might not, but just in case. I want to make sure to ask that, man.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
No problem. Well, thank you once again for the opportunity of education, both on both sides of the table. And what I'm referring to is our listeners and me as well. And I think I'm going to try my best to not only educate others with this opportunity, but also understand about you, and they can contact you if they're in that area or just to learn more and visit your website. So thank you once again, ma'am.
Well, thank you.
Well, hope you have a great night and enjoy the rest of the month, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you once again for all you do.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Wow, everyone. What a great opportunity that was. Not only us to learn, but also address if we're either seeing a chiropractic or we're not, to really get involved with them. Not only, of course, for our back issues, or if we don't even have any, but also helping us with this brain balance program. It's really going to be beneficial for us and definitely help us in the long run. If you would like to learn more about Dr. Pleva or have any questions, we'd be happy to connect you. please visit us on any form of social media or our website, and we'd be happy to connect you. Hope you have a great start and enjoy the new month of May, and we look forward to working continuously together to help change the lives of those that have been touched by a brain injury and educate the public. One love.